The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it possible for a Christian to lose sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. As you might know, we're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. So if you've got questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, today's question is an interesting one, and Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to take it away. Here's our discussion, Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
We're just so glad. I'm glad you're Bob, and I'm glad I'm Sean, and I'm glad that you're with us today listening to us ramble on about theology. Actually, someone wrote to me recently. They said, you know, we just like listening how you guys just, you know, just chat about theology and just throw it back and forth, and we enjoy it, too.
It's a lot of fun.
For the most part.
Well, you know, it's kind of like tennis doing this with Sean because, you know, Sean will throw one over to me, and they're generally kind of something fairly easy to hit back. But then he throws some wrench in it and hits topspin or hits some slice on it. And I'm like, why didn't you make it easy on me, Sean? But I think it makes it more interesting because you're constantly throwing me difficult things back, and we end up getting an interesting discussion
going. I mean, we're talking to a former professor of systematic theology, and he was saying one of his big disappointments at the seminary he taught at was in the faculty lounge, no one discussed theology.
Isn't that bizarre?
And I was like, what? How is that possible? You're at a seminary with theologians, and you don't discuss theology with the other theologians? So where do you get to discuss theology? I mean, I think we're one of the, I'm realizing we're one of the few places where people can actually ask theological questions.
This is important. This is how we learn.
Yeah, we learn by asking questions and dialoguing and follow-up questions and asking for clarification. I was just talking to a principal of a Bible college in Zimbabwe writing to us and asking some clarification on some things, and I'm trying to get Ken Yates to go over there. By the way, GES, we not only do this podcast and blogs and the magazine and conferences, but we also do more and more missions overseas teaching. So when you're supporting us, you're supporting teaching overseas. And Ken is pretty tough, even though there's all this COVID stuff happening. He doesn't care about it. I mean, he wants to take precautions, but he's still going overseas to go teach pastors over there. And his daughter, Catherine, who also works for us, is going over there. So thank you for supporting our ministry.
This
principal at this Bible college was saying, listen, we can barely even pay our own staff members, so we wouldn't be able to pay anyone to come teach here. And I said, don't worry about that. That's why we have supporters. Our supporters are sending us money so we can get that grace teaching overseas. There really isn't a whole lot of grace teaching over there. So thank you for supporting us and making that possible. And hopefully pray for us that we get more opportunities to teach overseas. Well, here is a question from Alexander. And Alexander says, is it possible for a believer to lose their sense of conviction of the Holy Spirit to the point where they can't feel anything anymore? I know that the Holy Spirit can never leave, but can you become very dull of hearing his voice?
And the answer would be yes.
Maybe we should talk about two different things. There's the role of the Holy Spirit in convicting the world, and then maybe there's the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, who's indwelling the believer.
Right. Well, the role of the Holy Spirit in convicting the world is found in John 16:7-11, and some other passages as well. And I take it that the Holy Spirit works in the consciences and hearts and minds of unbelievers to convince them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They're sinners. God is not. God is righteous, and there is a coming judgment.
Right.
And those things the Holy Spirit does. But the Holy Spirit also works in the lives of believers. And it's not simply convicting us of sin.
Right.
It is true that when we sin, the Holy Spirit will bring that to our attention, and so we can confess our sins and receive fellowship forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. But the Holy Spirit also convicts us concerning what is right. Let's say, for example, that, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm tempted to do something that would be wrong, maybe to lie.
Yeah.
Well, even before I would sin, the Holy Spirit would be working in my heart to say, no, that's not the right thing to do.
Right, right.
And so the Holy Spirit is working on me to say, don't go that way.
Yeah.
In fact, in Galatians and Ephesians, we're told that the Holy Spirit is leading us, and the way that he leads is through the Word of God. So he will bring to remembrance truths from the Word of God that we need in order to get through our day. In fact, Paul calls this the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Yeah. We have the mind of Christ. We develop the mind of Christ, that is, we meaning spiritual believers in that context, mature believers. We develop that mind of Christ by sitting under solid Bible teaching over time.
So what about people without Bibles?
So if someone doesn't have a Bible and a person doesn't have the regular teaching of the Word of God, then that person is not going to be able to grow spiritually. If the person is already a mature believer, let's say they've had the Bible in the past, but they've been thrown in prison and they no longer have a Bible, that's one thing. They can remember what they've learned. But let's say you have a person who grows up in a place where the Bible hasn't even been translated in their language, and someone comes and evangelizes them and they come to faith. Well, then the only way they're going to be able to grow in their new faith is if the Word of God is communicated to them.
So the Holy Spirit can't work without the Word of God. I mean, how do you see it convicting the world of sin then? It's not through the Word of God, because the Bible is just not in most of the world.
Well, some people argue that way. I have a friend who we've discussed back and forth about that passage, John 16:7-11, and he thinks it's through Christians going out sharing the Word of God. And I believe that is one way that he does it.
Yeah.
Of course, it's also through the Bible itself. Mm-hmm. In other words, unbelievers can read the Bible. Gideons give out the Bible. And people
without
read
a preacher.
Well, the without a preacher part in Romans chapter 10 concerns being born again, not recognizing sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Right.
And on top of that, it seems to me that the preacher doesn't have to literally be someone who's proclaiming God's word verbally. Obviously, a deaf person isn't hearing that. He'd have to have someone who's translating it. And I can read the words of a preacher on a piece of paper, right?
Sure.
And so I think Paul wasn't trying to deny that I can't read what someone has proclaimed.
Right. He wasn't saying this is the absolute only way.
Right.
You absolutely need to hear a preacher. It's more proverbially true that's how it works.
What the Lord is saying in that passage, John 16:7-11, is the Holy Spirit does this directly.
Right.
He directly works in the lives of each one. And, you know, you have Paul talking about the conscience in Romans chapter 2, that people are being convicted. This is apart from the Word of God.
Right.
He uses the Word of God, but he can also directly work in the life of someone.
So is that true of now of believers growing in the faith?
Well, in the weird hypothetical situation, which I'm sure exists somewhere on the planet, I would say that a person is going to not be able to grow to maturity without someone teaching them the principles of the Word of God. Romans 12:2, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. If our minds are not renewed, our behavior is not transformed.
Well, he doesn't say that's we can only be renewed by the Word of God there.
Well, right, but you also have 2 Corinthians 3:18, where Paul says, we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror, which there that mirror is the Word of God.
Is it?
I think the mirror there relates to the Word of God anyway. So it seems to me that what you have is that the Word of God is necessary for our growth. Now, if someone does evangelize someone in some people group where they don't have the Word of God, presumably they follow them up, right? I mean, they don't just lead them to faith in Christ and then go on to another people group. And so they're going to proclaim the Word of God. So even though they don't have the written Word of God, they're hearing it taught.
Right,
and remember, that was the case in the early church, right?
Well, I was going to say, no one had a Bible in the early church. It was still being written, and maybe they had like one letter, you know. But most poor people wouldn't have had anything.
And they wouldn't have had too many Old Testament scrolls either.
These Greek guys wouldn't have had very much of anything in terms of the Old Testament scriptures.
Right. So what they were getting was the Word of God taught each week. Of course, now they had people who had the prophetic gift. They also had apostles present. So they had people who were proclaiming the Word of God, even apart from Scripture.
Yeah.
But today, we have the Scriptures, and whoever leads someone to faith in Christ,
yeah,
it seems to me, has a responsibility, if they're able, to teach them the
right
principles of the Word of God.
So maybe to come back to Alexander's question, is it possible for a believer to lose their sense of conviction of the Holy Spirit to the point where they can't feel anything? I know that the Holy Spirit never leaves, but can he become dull of hearing his voice? I guess one way of becoming dull of hearing his voice is to just let your Bible collect dust and never to attend church.
Well, there's a direct quote from the book of Hebrews, you've become dull of hearing.
Yeah. You know? And so another way is maybe the world. How does the world stop hearing the voice, of become insensitive to the conviction of the Spirit? Is there a verse that kind of...
Well, there's, I think, 10 references to Pharaoh's heart being hardened with the 10 plagues.
Yeah.
Something, I think, in all 10.
Yeah.
In some of them, something like 6 or 7,
He hardened his own heart.
Yeah. And in some of them, God hardened his heart.
Your heart can become hard.
Right. Yeah. And you can be, you know, Israel was a hard-hearted people. They were stiff-necked people.
Sure.
So, yes, believers and unbelievers can be people who have become hardened.
Right. So, and the way to avoid that is get in your Word. Get in your Word, which the Holy Spirit is going to use to convict you. Get under the teaching of the Word at a Bible church.
Absolutely.
Don't forsake that Christian fellowship. Sometimes people get ashamed of their sins and they just avoid every Christian that they can think of because it just...
And also ask. Matthew 7:7-11, ask, seek, knock. If we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking, God's giving us what we need. But in answer to your question, could the Holy Spirit hypothetically work in the life of someone apart from the Word of God? Yes. A believer, I mean. Obviously, the Apostle Paul had direct visit from Jesus, and Jesus discipled him when he was in Arabia. Evidently, the Lord Jesus discipled Paul directly. Could that happen today? It could. I don't think it does. Or if it does, it's a once in a century kind of thing. But it could happen. I can't rule it out because it did happen with Paul.
Well, thanks for your question, Alexander. And keep on reading the Bible. And if you guys want to use our resources at faithalone.org, please do that. We have lots of articles for you guys, lots of audio, previous shows of Grace and Focus. And I think all of it will help you be convicted by the Spirit and to grow thereby. All right, we'll see you next time.
Next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to being back with you tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.